Hello and welcome to Food Stuff. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And one of my very least favorite holidays is coming up as we record this episode.
I wish I was clever and could think of a joke holiday. That is not Valentine's Day, which is the answer.
Groundhog's Day. Screw that groundhog.
True, right?
No. I mean, that's A, an excellent movie. B, groundhogs are terrific animals.
It's true. It's true.
Valentine's Day is awful, though.
Yes, or as it's sometimes known, Singles Awareness Day, or SAD, or Galentine's Day, depending on you know, what you like to celebrate, or February 14th as I know it.
Yes.
Because I usually forget it's happening. This might be why some of my previous three relationships ended, because their birthdays were on Valentine's Day.
What?
Three? In a row. Their birthdays were on Valentine's Day, and it was a lot of pressure, you know. Valentine's Day is coming, and I don't want to celebrate it, and then it's their birthday, and I forget both, and I'm terrible girlfriend.
Oh,
that's
wow.
The end of
yeah,
because
I call it Obligation Day sometimes, but hey, Valentine's Day!
Yes, if any of you like it, that's totally your bag. It can be great if you like candy, or, you know.
Candy is a thing that I enjoy.
My mom used to make, like, these little rose things she'd give to me. That was nice.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
Yes. You were saying about candy?
Oh, candy. Yeah. A type of candy that I don't like. I'm just wenching about things today, aren't
I? You are. Go for it.
Conversation hearts are awful.
That's what we're talking about today.
And that's our topic. Yay!
Yeah. I mean, it's great to talk about something you get to hate on when you hate it.
I guess hate is a strong word. I just don't understand why they're candy or popular.
Yeah. I don't really like them either. But in case you don't know what we're talking about,
conversation hearts. Yeah.
Conversation hearts. They're like those chalky, colorful heart candies that have messages on them.
Usually in red.
Usually in red. They sometimes go by conversation hearts, love hearts, message hearts, or sweethearts. So a lot of names with hearts in there. They traditionally say things like be mine or kiss me. But nowadays they might say something like tweet me. In the past, they said, fax me.
Oh.
Fax me.
I absolutely think they should bring that back.
I know. And can you imagine, like, you get this heart, and you're like, ooh, I'm going to fax him later. Like, I don't know. How romantic. You're just waiting. You hear that awful phone now sound.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some have emoji. The main company that makes them in America, Necco Sweethearts, print some 80 sayings every year, about 30 traditional ones, 20 totally new ones, and the rest is a mix of popular ones from recent years.
Mm-hmm. And in 2004, a Michigan man went all over to get enough marry me sweethearts to propose to his girlfriend.
Eventually, he just couldn't find enough, so he emailed the company, and they just sent him a box of marry me's for free.
Yeah.
It's apparently their, like, officially unofficial corporate policy. If you take the time to write them. I mean, don't abuse this power, you guys.
Yeah, because then you'll be one of the reasons they had to get rid of it. You don't want to be that.
You don't want to be that guy.
No.
But his wife also, in that way, got him a matching gift for their wedding. This Michigan man, his wife got him a box full of sweethearts that say, I do.
Aww.
Aww.
They also make sugar-free sweethearts with Splenda.
Uh-huh. Dazzled tarts with a sparkly sour dust coating.
Dazzled tarts. There's also sweethearts en espagnol, and you can customize your own. I looked into this, and it's quite expensive. You can fit 5 letters on the top row and 4 on the bottom, unless one of those letters is W.
Oh, W.
And then you have to knock a letter off each row. Mm-hmm. And this might be the most surprising fact of the episode to me. They are the best-selling Valentine's Day candy, even when you include box chocolate.
What?
They account for 40% of the Valentine's Day candy market.
What?
I know. I mean, they're fine.
Are they?
I mean, the novelty of getting a message on there? I don't know. Yeah.
They're certainly not chocolate.
No. And I will say they're very specific about boxed chocolate.
Oh.
In the facts I read about it. So maybe it's not necessarily chocolate.
In general, but okay.
Right.
Well, I see.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that number does mean something, because here in the States, as of 2016, Americans spent a collective $1.7 billion on candy for Valentine's Day. And each year, 8 billion sweetheart candies are produced. And a large chunk of those are sold between New Year's Day and Valentine's Day.
Like, basically all of them.
Right, pretty much.
Like, they produce them year-round to sell them in 6 weeks.
Exactly. And this is enough to go from Rome Italy to Valentine, Arizona. There's a Valentine, Arizona, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
20 times. 100,000 pounds of sweethearts.
I saw an interview with a Necco marketing director from 2011 reporting they make 10 to 14 million pounds a year. But that 100,000 number is reported on Necco's website. Who can we trust?
Conspiracy everywhere. Oh, everywhere we go.
Look, it's a lot of candy hearts either way.
It is. It is. So, what's in these things, Lauren?
Well, sugar or an artificial sugar substitute, as the case may be. Corn syrup, corn starch, gelatin, gums for adhesive properties, flavors, and colors. You mix all that up into a dough, feed the dough through a machine that presses it flat, stamp on the lettering, cut the heart shapes out of the flat dough, dry the hearts in a drying tunnel, and then repeat with a bunch of other colors and flavors. You mix them up, you box them. Apparently, the machine that they use to mix them together is colloquially referred to as the rocket launcher.
That sounds very epic. And the video you can watch online, there's videos of this, of the candy hearts being manufactured, and it is kind of hypnotizing.
Yeah.
It's very colorful.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if rocket launcher is what I'd call it, but it's colorful.
Mm-hmm. And they do in fact have different flavors. I know that chalky might seem to be the base level across all of them, but, supposedly the flavors range from lemon, orange, extreme tangerine, pink lemonade, apple, sour apple, green apple, blue raspberry, strawberry, red berry, grape, wild berry grape, and fruit punch, depending on what variety you're dealing with. There are also single type boxes of chocolate flavored hearts.
Oh, that's a lot more flavors. I thought there would be five, maybe. That's
yeah.
A lot.
You've got all the different types of boxes. You've got those dazzled tart sweethearts.
I am intrigued by that.
They have retired a few flavors over the years, like mint and banana.
Mint.
Separately, it wasn't like a mint banana flavor that I'm personally aware of.
Okay.
They also retire messages every year.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to make room for new ones, and some of those new ones every year run along a theme. They have themes for each year. Prior year's themes include Love's in the Forecast.
Ooh.
With messages like Get My Drift and Heat Wave.
Okay, I might appreciate that.
There was The Game of Love with messages like Dream Team and Number One Fan.
Mm-hmm.
There was Fashion Forward with Vogue and Trey Chic. And Animal Attraction, which included Perfect and Take a Walk.
Take a Walk? See, I would be offended. How dare you, candy heart? And then throw it down.
But this ties into a longstanding tradition of kind of mean.
It does.
Candy hearts.
It does. And speaking of, while I was researching this, I found the best / worst old-timey tradition. I bet a lot of you have heard of this, but it was my first time encountering it. In the 19th century, if you had a suitor you wanted to ditch, or just generally someone in your life you didn't like, you might send them a vinegar valentine.
Vinegar valentine.
A vinegar valentine. Had you heard of these?
I think I've heard of that, but I hadn't ever looked into it.
Oh, man. These were cheap cards that usually had these really ugly or rude images on them, captioned with an insult of some sort. If the person really didn't like you, they might write up in detail, exquisite detail, all of your flaws as they saw them.
And oh, man. And they say that people are mean on the internet. Goodness.
I know. You can look these up online. Most of them were directed at women, and they were so mean.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought of it like if Spencer's made a Hallmark card. If you guys know what Spencer's are, I don't know that they're that common anymore.
Or Gadzooks, I guess, is another brand like that.
Yeah.
Sure.
They would say things like, you are a nerve destroyer. When a pig's getting slaughtered, the noise that it makes is sweeter by far than your trills and shakes. And the howling of cats in the backyard at night compared with your singing's a dream of delight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or, you saucy puss, I am afraid that at last you'll die a maid. Let nothing tempt you to be witty. You cannot, and you are not pretty.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But here's one. Here's one for the men.
Oh, okay.
Hey, lover boy, the place for you is home upon the shelf, because the only one who'd kiss you is a jackass like yourself.
Oh, wow. Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm. Or another, your bright shining pate is seen at all shows and invariable down in the bald-headed rose, where you make conspicuous by your tender care your true ardent love for that one lonesome hair.
Oh, man.
I know. These are tough.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they, when they were popular, they accounted for over half of all card sales on Valentine's Day. And I laugh, but I'm really glad this went away, because if I had gotten one...
Oh, yeah. No.
It would have destroyed me.
Yeah.
However, as a joke with a friend, could still be fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For a while, Despair Inc., which is known for its anti-motivational posters, made a line of bittersweets with messages like mutual disgust and P.S. I love me.
See, I did this once and it really backfired on me because
oh, no.
I gave somebody something that said, you will fail or something. And then he failed his test.
Oh.
And I felt really bad.
Oh, well, that's not your fault. I mean, that's...
I know, but it wasn't great. It didn't look great for me.
Apparently, Necco still receives consumer suggestions for breakup hearts inscribed with stuff like, get a prenup or call my lawyer. However, even traditional nice sweethearts can be turned to less than loving purposes. They make a pointed appearance in Anne of Green Gables from 1908.
Once when nobody was looking, Gilbert took from his desk a little pink candy heart with a gold motto on it, you are sweet, and slipped it under the curve of Anne's arm. Whereupon Anne arose, took the pink heart gingerly between the tips of her fingers, dropped it to the floor, ground it to powder beneath her heel, and resumed her position without deigning to bestow a glance on Gilbert.
Oh.
That's harsh.
That is.
Valentine's Day drama.
Yeah. So there's reasons why we don't like this holiday. It's fraught with peril and terror.
It is.
But you know what's not fraught with peril and terror?
What, Lauren?
Ad breaks from our wonderful sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, history. The first romantic message-type candy that we know of comes from 1820s France, when it wasn't uncommon to receive a bonbon on New Year's Day that came with a message or story, possibly romantic or seductive in nature.
The wrapper that it came in, the little envelope, might have something in there or something written on the envelope, sure.
Exactly. And in the 1850s in Britain, you could find manufactured hard candies that came with short printed messages like, no, I won't ask Mama. How romantic.
I like that the 1850s British folks were definitely from the South. That's.
I just had a whole meeting that devolved into who has the most Southern accent. So I think it's on my on the brain. But the temperance movement caused the whole thing to fizzle out when they made and handed out their own candies that said things like, misery, sickness, and poverty are the effect of drunkenness. That's
not
a damper on things. Around the same time in 1847, Oliver Chase, an English immigrant and pharmacist living in Boston, was looking to get in on the throat lozenge business.
Throat lozenges. Of course we're talking about... Wait, what, why are we talking about throat lozenges?
This is a good question. Lozenges were the shiny new darling of the medicine delivery world, and Chase wanted in on that action. And yes, we're talking about another foodstuff linked to the medical field.
These lozenges were kind of the spoonful of sugar or the candy coating or even the gel capsule of the time. You'd grind up your meds and add them to the sweet dough that once dried would melt in the patient's mouth or stomach.
Right. But making lozenges wasn't an easy business, nor was it cheap. At the time, you had to make them by hand.
You had to grind up unrefined sugar with stabilizers like gums, with a mortar and pestle to make the dough, and then roll it and cut it into shapes.
And Chase decided lozenge making was in need of an American industrialization makeover, and that he was the fella to do it. He came up with this tabletop hand crank device that did it all. It could grind and knead and shape the ingredients into lozenges. He realized fairly quickly that maybe the lozenge wasn't all it was cracked up to be, but that candy business, though, that's going places. And that same year, 1847, he founded Chase & Co. with one of his brothers, Silas.
He would patent a mill for powdering sugar into different grades of granularity in 1851.
Mm-hmm. And one of the first things Chase & Co. sold were discs with sugar and flavoring known as wafers. According to some sources, these things were so popular, Union soldiers carried them in their packs during the Civil War, calling them hub wafers. They were cheap and portable. Admiral Richard Byrd certainly thought so. He bought 2 tons with him on his South Pole expedition.
They would become so incredibly popular for their lasting properties, and more on that in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. In the context of sweethearts, Chase & Co. started off selling colloquials, or cockles, which were sugar lozenges pressed into the shape of a shell with a note inside about what your future would bring.
Hmm.
Yeah, kind of fortune cookie-esque. They gained a lot of popularity at events like weddings, where the message inside might jokingly, heavy quotes, say something like, "Please send a lock of your hair by return mail." I laughed so hard when I read that. Because I don't know. I hope that was a joke. I don't know.
It was a common like sweetheart thing. Not oh, sweethearts like, the candy, but to give a lover a lock of your hair is like a keepsake.
I guess I'm thinking of it in terms of the candy heart, where you might get it randomly. You know, if I got that random request,
you'd be like, at any rate, the company was also selling their lozenge makers and sugar grinders, which helped them grow.
Right. And Oliver had another brother, Daniel Chase. And Daniel had been watching the success of his brother's company and trying to figure out how he could get in on it. And as the market for Valentine's Day cards grew, Daniel thought to himself, what if we, instead of printing the message on paper, we put it directly on the candy?
On the candy.
What? We'll talk more about that after one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So, in 1866, Daniel Chase created an addition to his brother's machine that could stamp vegetable-based food dye onto the tops of these pressed sugar lozenges with a felt roller as the dough was being rolled through the cutter. And these were pretty big wafers at the time. Some of the original messages included, "Marion White, you have chosen right." "Married in pink, he will take to drink."
Ooh.
"Married in satin, love will not be lastin'." And "How long shall I have to wait? Please be considerate."
Please be considerate, I think.
Oh.
Just kidding. I'm being annoying.
That. No, that's great.
I love those like old timey rhymes that don't work anymore.
That don't work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's one that was printed like a riddle on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
A question on one side, answer on the other. "Why is a stylish girl like a thrifty housekeeper?"
Why?
"Because she makes a big bustle about a little waste."
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh.
But some of them had messages that are still in use today, over 100 years later. These are the slightly more classic ones. "Be mine, be good, be true, kiss me," stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These had all been made manually, or with manually operated machines, rather, up until the 1870s, which is when Chase & Company began harnessing steam power to create their treats.
Steam power. Candy hearts.
Oh, but it wasn't hearts yet. We wouldn't get conversation candies in heart shapes for another 40 years. They didn't debut until 1902 and were among a series of shapes, watches, horseshoes, baseballs, stuff like that. The heart is the shape that stuck, though. The whole line was called Necco's Sweet Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And these shapes, with the Necco name, came out the year after Chase & Company teamed up with 2 other candy companies, one known for its chocolates and another that specialized in gumdrops and jujubes, to compete with some of the heavy hitters like Hershey and Wrigley. Together, they Voltroned into the New England Confectionery Company, or Necco, in 1901.
Bum, bum, bum!
And this might never have happened if not for a couple disasters for the Chase brothers. 2 of their buildings burned down, completely separate incidents, in the 1870s, one in the Great Chicago Fire and one in Boston. Without this, they might never have teamed up and thus become big enough. to attract the attention of a really important contract.
Ooh, what contract?
Well, meanwhile, the American military had started putting candy in its soldiers' rations in 1899 with the idea that treats would improve morale and increase caloric uptake, which can be a problem when people are faced with too many unappetizing foods.
Yeah.
Yeah. With an eye on Necco wafers' two-year shelf life and imperviousness to both melting and freezing, they became a common inclusion. The wafers were sent into battle during the Spanish-American War and World War I. The government actually bought out Necco's entire year's worth of wafer production in 1917.
Wow. And jumping ahead, the Necco factory met most of the U.S. military's sweet tooth needs during World War II.
Also, hey, Necco is not the only company that makes these things. One UK competitor, or parallel, rather, because they don't sell in the United States, called Swizzles, started making their Love Hearts in 1954. They are not as strongly associated with Valentine's Day, though. As I said earlier, sweethearts are sold basically entirely in the 6 weeks leading up to Valentine's Day every year, but Love Hearts debuted in Christmas crackers, you know, the little treats that you pull apart on Christmas. And they're now sold year-round with different messages for different events, like Mother's Day, various royal family stuff, etc.
I wonder if, I'm sure Necco has thought about getting into non-Valentine's Day, because it really is. You don't see them outside of that.
I mean, and Peeps have made themselves year-round.
That's true. They've figured that out, that market, so.
Oh, I don't know. Mm. In 1990, the Necco Company acquired a rival, one of these rivals, Stark Candy Company, which had been marketing their candy conversation hearts under the Sweethearts brand.
I'm sure Iron Man is not associated with that at all.
Oh, not that I'm personally aware of. More conspiracies. In the late 2000s, they did start a new kind of marketing push with a whole bunch of different really entertaining ideas. They released a special edition Twilight-branded Sweethearts.
As in the vampires.
Oh, okay. In 2009. They glittered like vampires in Twilight do.
Uh-huh.
And they included themed phrases like, bite me, I trust you, bad guy, you are my life, and I heart EC. EC standing for Edward Cullen, which is the main dude character's
what
name.
What kind of a heart is that to give to someone else?
I'm not sure.
So it's for you. It's for your consumption.
I think it's for you.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool.
Oh, and my favorite part about it, the flavors were called Forbidden Fruits.
Ooh.
Oh. Around this time, they also released smoothie-themed Sweethearts with flavors like strawberry cream, peach blueberry, banana caramel, and tropical.
Tropical, huh?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Also in 2009, they asked fans to submit new messages, and they got over 10,000 responses.
Ooh.
According to then-marketing manager Amy Scott in an interview with Time magazine, the top 10 we ended up using. They were You Rock and Puppy Love and stuff like that. But we also got a lot of weird ones, like Love Bacon, Justin Bieber. Someone suggested The Situation, Beef Burrito.
I do love beef burritos. Do you think Love Bacon is Kevin Bacon or like Bacon Bacon? Or a mixture of both?
Ooh, yeah. Kevin Bacon conflated. Made of bacon? Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but...
Yeah, best of all worlds.
Mm-hmm.
It's an annual contest now. Kids ages 5 to 12 can color in one of the company's special black and white printed Sweethearts boxes and submit it for a chance to win the opportunity to create a new phrase. A few phrases derived from this contest in recent years include love to dance, girl power, and pugs and kittens.
Oh.
I think that's cute.
That is cute.
Yeah. In 2010, Necco switched from artificial to natural flavorings and colorings, which apparently caused something of a public backlash and a drop in sales.
Huh.
I think they're on a mix of natural and artificial flavors now, but working on tweaking their recipes and moving towards totally natural stuff. Also, hey, if you want to make your own.
Okay.
You can. There are a few recipes out there on the web, and they all sound no more difficult than making, like, cutout cookies.
That, I might do that, actually. I was kind of thinking of making a joke one this year, and then when I researched the price, I said, no way, but if I can make my own.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. With a food coloring pen, which if you can't find one at a grocery store, then a craft store should definitely have them. You can write your own messages on your own homemade candies. You can even bring back any of their retired sayings that you like. May I suggest a few?
Please do, Lauren.
Yes. Okay. All right. All right. Hacha. Saucy boy.
Ooh.
Why not? Fax me. Hep cat. Tell me how. You are late.
Love it.
www.cupid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. Ho boy. And let's read.
Oh, let's read.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Mara's kind of a healthy mix of go away.
Right.
And also come to me.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You can really personalize it. Their 2009 line of messages was themed Menu of Love.
Ooh.
Which is topical for this podcast,
it
you
is.
Know.
Uh-huh.
And some of my favorites from that line included Stir My Heart.
Oh, yes.
My Treat, Sugar Pie, Spice It Up, or Recipe for Love.
Recipe for Love. I seem to recall it was a joke. It was a bit in Arrested Development with the candy hearts.
Yeah?
Causing a...
Some kind of stir? Oh.
Yeah.
So probably something with maybe and...
I believe so.
Yeah.
Like, George Michael planted a candy heart for her, and then Tobias picked it up, and...
Oh.
Yeah, this is meaning nothing to a lot of you.
Lols ensued. I totally recommend... I mean, Arrested Development is pretty... If you're looking to soothe the pain of another Valentine's Day, Arrested Development's not a bad way to do it. They're not... Yeah.
Yeah. And that is the candy heart. We hope that... It has been enjoyable. And if you're celebrating Valentine's Day, I hope it's a good one.
Yes.
And if you're not,
I hope it's a good one too.
Yeah. I hope it's a good February 14th.
Yeah.
And our listeners around the world, if you don't really celebrate this, I'd love to hear what you do celebrate around this time of year.
Or if there's an alternate romance holiday.
Right.
In your neck of the woods.
I know there's Singles Day in China.
Oh.
But that's, yeah. Kind of an alternate thing. Anyway, this brings us to listener mail.
Listener mail!
Claire wrote in about the McDonald's episode. When I was getting my undergrad a few years ago, I went to McDonald's one night, probably stress eating, let's be honest, and to my dismay, my car broke down as I pulled back onto campus. Stressed and frantic about my car, I forgot all about the half-eaten Big Mac in my passenger seat. Turns out my car had serious issues, and it took me 6 months to scrape up the cash to fix it.
Oh, no.
And in the meantime, I forgot about the burger.
Ah!
I noticed it about 1 month in when a classmate of mine posted a picture of the burger from outside my car onto his Snapchat.
Oh, no.
Disgusted with myself, I went outside to throw the burger away, but upon realizing its pristine condition, my curiosity was engaged, and I decided to leave the burger there indefinitely. It became the cool thing to do for people to pass my car on their walk to class to post burger updates on their Snapchats and Instagrams with captions like, Day 82 and the burger shows no sign of rot. And my car became known as the burger car all around campus, mostly by people whom I'd never even met. It was like an on-campus attraction. On the day I finally got my car fixed, I took one last photo of the burger, still in great condition, and posted a farewell Snapchat to it, congratulating it for its 6 months of perseverance. So anyway, that's how my misfortune, my absent-mindedness, and the properties of a McDonald's hamburger led to some hilarious campus hijinks during my undergrad.
Oh, that's high quality. Alex wrote in about the fad diets episode. I just wanted to clarify the Japanese banana fad diet that was briefly mentioned on the second fad diet episode, as I was living in Japan at the time and able to witness it. The diet pretty much instructs that just one banana should be eaten for breakfast, not as many as you wish. I had a friend who was on the diet who shyly admitted to eating two bananas instead of just the one. As it was explained to me, the idea is to limit how much you are eating while still giving you enough energy to last you the morning. Obviously, as a fad diet, the intention and science behind it doesn't entirely reflect reality.
Hmm. Well, I mean, a banana for breakfast? That seems okay.
I mean, it's a light breakfast. I mean, I wouldn't want something that sugary.
Sure.
For me personally, because I would be terrible by lunchtime. I would be the
good
worst
to know.
Human.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, that is it for the listener mail portion. Thank you to both of them for writing in. and you can do the same.
Yes.
We have an email address. It is foodstuff@howstuffworks.com.
We're also on various social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at FoodstuffHSW. We're also on Instagram at Foodstuff. Thank you so much for writing in. We hope so much to hear from you. Thank you to our amazing producer, Dylan Fagan, or the ghost of him, who is visiting us right now.
Yeah, he's helping with another podcast, The Traitor.
Oh.
So we should say something very nice about him. And you better not cut this out, Dylan. Dylan, will you be our audio engineer? ? Yeah, I'm going to workshop it.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's lovely.
We'll work on that, but he's great.
Yes.
Thanks to you all for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.